thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with Aaron Dennison, coordinator of co-coordinator of Pulang Mengundi Sabah. Aaron, so congratulations on raising, you and the team raising RM75,000 crowdfunded.
Yeah, I believe the applications are open still. I mean, for receiving money, donors can still send money until tomorrow?
Yes, they can send their money until tomorrow, and our latest figures that I checked just now, we have passed RM100,000.
Oh, wow.
So which means we might be able to send at least 250 people back home now.
Okay. Right. So if there's a really big funder out there.
That's great.
And I believe one of the largest funders put down RM10,000. Right. So there's really generous folks out there who want to support this initiative. There's still time.
Well, Aaron, so... is it really expensive? I mean, when you think about the cost to send voters home to Sabah to cast their ballot, what does it cover? How much are you looking at per voter?
Like on, if you go to MAS, I mean, on their website or Asia, I mean, you need at least RM600. I mean, two ways. But we managed to speak to an airline where they gave us a flat rate of RM400, two ways, 20 kilo luggage plus 7 kg hand carry. So that's a great rate. I mean, for me, I feel that's a great rate. And in terms of the negotiation with the airline, I mean, it was back and forth. Okay. It took us like 1.5 weeks for us to finally convince them. I mean, please, I had to beg. And I had
what,
to convince
what convinced them?
Them?
I mean, what kind of arguments did you use to this kind of corporate player that, you know, moved them to actually agree?
We were straight up with them on how much to the people are flying earning, basically. I mean, how much are they earning? I mean, not a lot of them earn, I mean, above RM2,200. So it's RM2,200 and below. Mm-hmm. So when I said that, I mean, they sort of said, okay, maybe I understand now. I mean, and then I also said that we haven't crowdfunded enough, so we hope to crowdfund more. I mean, we want to send as many as we can, so that's why you need to cap the price so that we can send as many as
Aaron, how do you keep initiatives like this, which, you know, started from organically, grassroots level, how do you keep it from becoming partisan? How do you keep it from being hijacked by political agendas, by political parties who want to bring voters back to vote for them?
So we have had, requests from both sides of the divide. I mean, in terms of when they said, do you need funding? I mean, but how much do you think they are on our side? But from the start, we were clear that we were non-partisan. We said individuals can donate, but not a certain political party. So that's where we drew the line. And
but why not? I mean, if a political party says we'll put down, 20,000, but and not interfere in the selection of the person, meaning the person doesn't have to come with some party affiliation or a promise to vote for X, Y, or Z, why not take that money?
I mean, if they come to the table and say, we're giving you this money, just send them home. We don't want them to know. We don't want to know who are they voting for. Mm. That's fine. We're fine with that. But there's always the perception where some political parties will come and then they will put down the money and then they held you at your neck and say, this is what you should do. So that's always the fear for me and also for the team as well.
Okay. And, I know Sharad asked you about what kind of impact you might see, whether this will at all, move the needle in any which way. But what do you want to see come up from this campaign? We're less than 5 days, about 5 days away, right, from polling day. What would be, for you, the intended, the intentions behind this? What would be the intended impact?
A message to the young people. I mean, do not give up, basically. A lot of stories that I've heard, everyone saying, oh, why is this happening? I mean, our vote is not even taken seriously. But I want to continue saying that, this is where your voice is heard, at the ballot. And this is where our rights are given. This is our democratic right. It's been given to us through the Constitution. I mean, it's a responsibility. I mean, not everyone have the privilege to vote. We didn't have to go through what the United States went through. I mean, they had the black weren't allowed to vote and everything. All of us, we had our rights just after independence, everyone, regardless of our race. So that's something they need to keep in mind every time they feel that, you need to boycott, don't vote. So. Yeah.
Okay, Aaron, there's something that troubles me, right? All this is wonderful work. But if the Election Commission had done a very simple thing of allowing voters from Sabah to vote in the peninsula or vote in Sarawak, in the territories where they live and work, then we wouldn't have this problem. And in fact, so many more people would be voting who don't live in the territory. Do you see this, and I clearly see it, as a failure on the part of the Elections Commission to do its job?
I would say failure. I mean, I would say that this is our statement to them. I mean, why basically we're doing this is to show that many people want to go back and vote, but they can't afford it. Only certain people can do it. So this sort of gives them an indication that they need to then allow Sabahans to vote in Peninsula at this time. And even for the next few elections, like Sarawak, for example, they need to think about it.
Right, so this can be kind of a template to see how it goes. And if I may be a cynic as well, how do you, you know, respond to accusations that this is just people who want a free ride home?
Yes, a lot of people told us, I mean, even our funders said, how do you think that they will actually go back and vote? I mean, that is beyond our control. I mean, we know based on the stories that we have read, I mean, we have a team that basically worked day and night, I mean, 4 a.m. in the morning, using our weekends, we all have our day jobs, but this is our night job. So, I mean, we trust them, I trust the team.
Trust principle.
Yes, trust principle. So, yeah, we can't control it, but we hope that they go back and vote, that's all.
There's also another thing. I understand that not everybody wants to go back and vote, and that COVID is playing a particular role. Could you give us some sense of the fear that you sensed from talking to all these people about whether they should go back?
So we started calling them on Saturday, I mean, telling them, yeah, you have been selected, you have a flight back home. And a few of them said, I don't think I want to go back because some of, even the young people, my parents said I should just stay where I am because the situation in Sabah is not looking good. I mean, those were the challenges that we thought that, oh, okay, maybe the election is not going to happen. But at the same time, we felt that we always tell them as long as you follow the SOPs, that's the best we can do. As long as you follow the SOPs, practice social distancing, and then we even consider buying them masks at the airport when they are leaving. So, I mean, those are the things that we can do, but we just hope that they meet upheld to all the SOPs.
Very quickly, as we wrap up the show, for those who are listening, who are watching, who want to help, how can they?
So we have our bank account on our Facebook as well as on our Twitter. So just bank in whatever amount you can. No small, no big amount. We had the smallest amount we had was 18 ringgit from a student, which was very touching. And the largest was 10,000 ringgit. So no small amount. Just donate to us.
Well, that's nice. Thank you so much, Aaron. Good luck with all with the work, the good work that you and your team are doing.
Yeah, thank
good
you.
Luck.
That's all the time we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, folks. Good night.